joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout.
Woo!
Praise Him for the victory.
The weapons we use.
The weapons we use are not bombs and
worship
guns.
Is the
worship
way.
Is the way that the battle is won.
This is the
this
way.
Is the way that we fight. Praise Him for the victory.
Straight into prayer requests now. We're going to claim victory over every name and over every need right now. Jesus. Here's some names. We have Beverly Hamill, the Cochran family, Carson Rayleigh, Paula Foster, Cody Sullivan, Lauren Adkins, Brenda Black, Dickie Ewing, Danny Bramlett, and Geraldine Nosmus. Right now, what we're going to do is if you have a need, you're going to come down to the front and we're going to claim victory over it. You're going to give your need to God and say, I'm giving this to you and I'm letting you have your way. I don't care what I want or how I want it to be done. I'm just going to give it to you. And if you don't have a need, there's no reason you can't go into battle right now for some of these names that are on this paper and up here. There's no reason you can't say, it might not be my need, but I'm going to come up to the front and pray for it anyway. Because I believe that God can do something in that need. And if you really need something to pray about, here's a big need right here. We have a city that we got to go reach. We have a city that has tons of needs in it. If you need something to pray about, fall back on that because that needs prayer most. So right now, if you have a need, come down to the front. The ministers will pray with you and anoint your head. Lord, have your hand.
Speak the
your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus.
Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus.
speak thy name over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause I just wanna speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the strength, Jesus in the darkness, over every need. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus,
shout Jesus, shout Jesus,
shout Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets,
of Paris,
Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Our 2024 Church of Beautification Pledge Drive. We had discussed it. I've announced it. We have a slide overhead. You can scan the QR code if you're wanting to be able to add to the fund, to donate to the fund, to be able to add to the outward appearance of our church. It's painting the church. It's a new roof. It's bushes around the front. And it's going to be a great thing to be a part of, something that, you know, we can't all put together a building. I may not all be constructionally equipped or, you know, advanced, but we can give. And so this is our opportunity to be a part, to grow. And with you can, you know, just give through the offering, but you can also go through PushPay, you know, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly donations into the fund. And it's a great opportunity to further this church building. Then also in May, we have on the 12th our Mother's Day service. So that's going to be this next service, this next week. And we also have on the 19th is going to be Youth Sunday and Graduation Sunday. That is going to be the evening service. And so that will be our opportunity for our youth to have their slideshows, for us to honor them as they graduate. We have 3 seniors this year. And so they're going to give their speeches. We're going to have a reception afterwards in the Family Center. It's a service you do not want to miss. It's a beautiful service every year. And it's so exciting to get to hear from the students that you've been watching, you know, you've been seeing them grow up, and now they get to kind of showcase, you know, how far they have come. So make sure you are there on the 19th of May. And then on the 28th, Ladies United Night of Worship, make sure that you are planning to be there for that, ladies. And then for our mother's memorial offering, our pledge card, the offering is due July the 1st. Simply just fill out a card, place it in the offering plate. And also, if you want to sponsor a foreign Bible school student, it's for $200. Please note that on your pledge card. And then also, giving you some time in advance, on June the 8th, it is a single adult ministry night of worship in Savoy, Texas, so not far from here. It is our UPC neighbor, UPC next door neighbor in Savoy, and it's a great church, and they're having Brother Daniel Minchie will be the guest speaker there, who is a great man, a great minister. That would be awesome for any single adults wanting to go fellowship, have a night of worship there. That is June the 8th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And I like to, on offering and announcements, move through it orderly. But I felt an unction before I was doing this, and I fought it, and I decided I'm not going to fight something that I feel God's putting on my heart. And so I would like to ask for everybody to stand right now. The ushers, you'll be a part of this as well spiritually. But if we read in the Lord's Prayer, it opens, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," giving praises. And that's what we did opening the service. So when you start praying, when you start your interaction with God, your experience with God, enter with praises. We've started with that. You know, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is giving our petitions to Him. As "give us this day our daily bread," we're continuing to give our petitions. That's the prayer requests that we just went through. But then next it says, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Repentance. And I don't want a single person in here to go through the rest of this service and not be ministered to because there is a sin, or there is something that is going on. There is a shame, there is a guilt, or there is just something going on in your life that is preventing you from being able to connect with the healing, powerful, miraculous Spirit of God. So we've brought forth praises. We've brought forth our petitions to Him. But right now, what I'm wanting us to do as an entire church is a prayer of repentance. Of saying, "God, whatever you're wanting to do in this service, I do not want anything in my life to separate me from it. That God, if there is a sin in my life, I'm sorry. If there's something that I'm doing in my life that's separating me from the presence of God, from what you're calling me to do, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me of it. God, cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me, because I cannot go throughout this service and walk into Monday the same way that I walked out of Friday. But God, I need you to cleanse me. God, I need you to make me renewed. God, I need you before the word is even preached tonight. I need to be a clean slate. I need to be a blank canvas. I don't need to walk in holding anything, but God, I need my hands to be empty so I can catch and hold everything you are pouring out to me." So God, I pray that every single person in this place tonight turns away from any sin, turns away from any addiction, turns away from any spirit, any thought, any bondage, and I come against it with the authority of the name of Jesus, with the authority of the blood that you shed for us, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody say, "in Jesus' name." And so now the ushers are going to come. We're going to take our tithes and our offering. And you're going to give your tithes and your offering. And you are now going to lift holy hands, free of any sin, free of any doubt, free of any shame. Anything you may have walked in here with is no longer holding you anymore. But you have a song left in this service before the word is brought to be able to give everything. Say, "there was maybe sin in my life before I walked in, but it's not anymore. There were things I was battling coming against me, but not anymore." So I have one more song that got to give you all of the glory, and the word is going to be brought, and it's going to minister to my heart that I have nothing left because I poured it on the altar already, and I'm walking into Monday full of victory, full of power and authority. So God, I thank you right now for your presence. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your word. I pray you bless what is given today. I pray you bless the giver. Your word is already anointed. So God, anoint us. Allow us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
seated in majesty.
You are.
You are the risen King.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won.
Amen. Why don't you keep that going unto the Lord right now? Somebody go ahead and give him some real praise. Not a hand clap because somebody asked you to keep it going, but somebody go ahead and give him some high praise in this room tonight. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one that was, that is, and is to come, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. He's the Father in creation, the Son manifested in the flesh, the Spirit that lives. I could spend all night talking about who he is, but thankfully today, I don't have to call him by his attributes and his abilities, but I can speak the name of Jesus and mountains will come down. I can speak the name of Jesus and prison doors can open.
Yes, amen.
My. What a power of the Holy Ghost that is in this room. If you didn't come to have church tonight, I don't know what you're doing. But I've come to have church tonight. I didn't come for entertainment. I didn't come to a social club. And I'm going to be real honest but real respectful at the same time and tell you I didn't come here to see you. But I came here tonight with one thing on my mind. And that's how I can get closer to him and further away from him. That's how I can get more freedom, more live. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom in the room today. There's some people that have been bound by some stuff. I'm not minimizing the stuff you're going through. I'm not minimizing the hurts. I'm not minimizing. Some of you have been hurt inside these four walls. Can I just be real? Some of you have been hurt in the church by people that claim to be a part of the church. And it's got you held back. But I believe tonight that by the power of the Word of God and by the faith that's going to elevate in this room tonight, I believe you're going to come through it. I believe you're going to break out of it. I believe God is going to set you at liberty and at freedom. If you have your Bibles, your devices, or just look to the wall, turn with me all the way to the book of Genesis. If you don't know where that one's at, it's the very first one. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Well, we're going to go real far into there tonight. Amen. While you are turning there, give honor to Pastor and Sister Meyer, their incredible family. Amen. I give honor to this great church. We always look forward to any time spent here. We thank you for your kindness and your love. And I'm most thankful that I took the best thing that, with no disrespect, I took the best thing that this church had to offer. Outside of the moving of God's Spirit, I claim that girl back there, and I love her, and I honor her tonight. And men, if you don't feel that way, God help you. You need to be in the altar tonight. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and 1, you could probably all quote it without reading it, but the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." If you miss that right there, then you might as well close the book. In the beginning, God, before time and you and I know it began, God was. And when time as you and I know it comes to a conclusion, whether it's by way of the grave or the rapture happens, God will still be. The Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. He's from everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the help of the Holy Ghost, for however long it takes for somebody to break out of what you're going through, I'm going to preach from this thought. When we speak, some of you just got scared because I'm fixing to put the ball in your hands tonight. I know we think that it's the job of the preacher to preach us into our miracle. I know we think that it's the job of the preacher to give us the word that I'm going to preach the word. And what you, I know what God said he wants to do tonight. I already know that. And I know when I feel in the Holy Ghost and I'm fixing to put the ball in your court and whatever you and God decide to do with it, that's what will happen tonight. I'm going to go ahead before we go any further. Why we got to the point we need to make this announcement, I do not know. But the altars are open. Reality is they're never closed. They're always open. Would you clap your hands to the Lord and give him some praise one more time? God bless you. You can be seated if you want. You don't have to. I'm going to stand the whole time anyway. You just do whatever you feel like you need to do. It was in the beginning of the Word of God that God himself would say, "Let there be," and it was. All by the power of his spoken word. It was Jesus that spoke on the bow of a boat one day to the winds and the sea, and they obeyed him. It was Jesus that spoke to a legion of demons that had possessed a man, and they obeyed him. Notice, though, that what this man possessed with anywhere from 10 to 20,000 devils inside of him figured out. Before he was ever delivered, he knew how to worship. Before he was ever set free, he ran to him, the Bible says, and he worshiped him. I've come to tell you and remind you of something you already know. There is still power in your ability to praise and worship God. You've got to understand today that what I'm going through does not change the why I praise him. What I am facing does not dictate the reason why I clap my hands, why I lift my voice, and why I show up to the house of God. Because whether you live for God or you don't, stuff's going to go wrong. Whether you live for God or you don't, stuff's going to break. Whether you're a part of the church or you're living in the world, things will come against you. There will always be something coming against you and your family. But the great pleasure that I have in knowing that God is for me is that even when all hell is breaking loose around me, I've got a place of peace that I can run to. The Bible says that he is a strong and a mighty tower that the righteous can run into and be saved. I've come to tell some people today, if you want your liberty, you need to get your praise back. If you want your breakthrough, you ain't gonna help me. It's okay. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now because here's the thing. We want the old time revivals. We want the old breakthroughs. We want the old meetings that would last hours upon hours, and we would see miracles and we would see things happen, and we would, but we don't do the stuff we used to do. Oh, I wish we could see a move of God like we used to see. I wish we could see people slain out in the spirit. But God, I'm going to need you to get it done here within the next 15 minutes because my series is coming on. Oh, my team's about to play. Some of you are watching your team right now. Checking the scores. While the Spirit's moving, checking the scores. Well, I submit to you tonight that we never had to make it this far into this service, because as they begin to sing and usher us into the presence of God, there was enough power of God. You see, God is not only moved by the preaching of his word, but it's by the praises of his people. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Even in a midnight jail, Paul and Silas said, "We got reason to complain. We got reason to be offended. We got reason to be upset, but the what that I am facing does not rob me of my ability. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." It was this same Jesus that would speak and healing would take place. Matthew 7 and 28 says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all speak of Jesus casting out unclean spirits. And the people were amazed because he spoke with authority. And we walk into the house of God as children of God with royal blood flowing in our veins, and we feel like we got to come tiptoeing to an altar, and we've got to beg, and we've got to plead, and we've got to weep, and we've got to moan, and we got to cry. I submit to you today that all we've got to do is we just got to rise up and begin to speak. We just got to let some Holy Ghost boldness get a hold of us and start speaking some things into existence. We need to let the gift of faith operate again. in. I am not intimidated by the current culture of this world. I am not intimidated by what I see going on in the White House or in society. This is not the worst hour for the church. This is the greatest hour of the church, because the Bible says, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. It's going to be the former and the latter rain together. Parish, you better get ready. The building's not big enough for the harvest God's sending. I know you've been hearing it, but it's time you start speaking it. It's time we start speaking. Prodigals come home. Wayward sons and daughters return. Families be restored. Lives be saved. It's time we start speaking. Drug addicts be delivered. Alcoholics be sober. It's time we start speaking. Perversion be delivered. And watch souls be saved. When the church starts to speak, God starts to move. When God's people, empowered with God's Spirit. You see, I'm not afraid today to preach miracles, Pastor Meyer, because it's not my ability anyhow. It's not my healing anyhow. It's not my saving to give to people. If I could run around, I wish I could run around with a Brother Jones with a big old 55-gallon drum of Holy Ghost. You wouldn't walk past me without getting wet. I don't care. You could be, you'd be on the board. You could pastor the church. You could do whatever you want to do. I could have just seen you get it, and you walk past me, and I could dose you with it. I'd dose you with it. You want to know why? Because I found out every day I need him more. I found out every day I've got to have more and more. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. And I assure you, it takes more than just repeating a prayer after a preacher. The word still declares, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It still records one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God above all, God in you all, and God through you all. And when God's in me and working through me, I can speak and God will move. God is moved by two things. Two things for sure will move God every single time: praise and faith. You start praising him, he starts moving. Preacher, I don't feel nothing. It's because you ain't doing nothing. 100% of the time, praise starts out in the flesh. 100% of the time. But the more I start praising him, the more something starts happening. And the next thing I know, you want to know why? It's because I started building him a place to dwell. And when he shows up, then the power comes. When he shows up, then the spirit starts moving. So I submit to this church today, if you'll just make your flesh do what it doesn't want to do, and you start giving God a praise anyhow, it's not always about what I feel. It's about who I know. And I know the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I know God himself, and I've got that spirit inside of me, and when I begin to praise, he starts to show up, and then we can start speaking to demons, we can start speaking to spirits, we can start speaking to situations. When God's people speak, the impossibility becomes a reality. They wanted to know, these scribes and Pharisees, they wanted to know what doctrine it was that he was speaking, because there was power in the words that he spoke. And when he spoke, things began to happen and questions began to be raised. They wanted to know how he had this authority. And I've come to tell this church today that we still got that same power, that same authority, and that same ability. We have got to come out of this place of feeling like the church is always on the defense. I'm tired of being on the defense. I'm tired of feeling backed into a corner. I'm tired of feeling isolated and obscured and just off somewhere looking like the weird one. No offense. God loves us all the same. But I'm tired of traveling across this movement and across our great churches and seeing churches that are filled with fear and feel restricted by the opposition of the enemy. I'm not backing up anymore. I'm not backing into a corner. But hell better hear me, and this is where people start getting scared. Hell better hear me. We are going to take our families back. We're going to take our children back. We're going to take some co-workers back. I'm ready to gain some ground. Hey, you didn't lose it just because you forgot about it. If you'll go back to the old landmarks, if you'll redig the old wells, if you'll get every promise that God has promised you, I'm telling you now, there are prophetic words that have been spoken over this pulpit that will be fulfilled in this year if God's people will begin to speak the word of faith. People know us for our radical worship, and they should. People know us for the way that we dress, and they should. I'm not denying holiness, modesty, and standards. I think they are very biblical and very applicable to the church, and we need to be able to be identified as God's people. You have no trouble figuring out who the bride is when you show up to a wedding. She walks in differently than everybody. She's dressed differently than everybody. And there is no mistaking the identity of the bride when you are at the wedding and seeing what God is going to do. I've come to tell you that when he comes back for his bride, he ought not have to look at you and I and go, I wonder. Maybe. But furthermore, we have gotten so hung up on rules and regulations that we've got people that your dress drags the floor, you're clean shaven, you're good looking, you got all the check marks and all the things that they used to hammer into you and all of this kind of stuff, but yet you sit with a heart that's not right. I don't care how pretty it looks, if the heart ain't right, if the relationship ain't right, if there's not a connection between here and there, you can have all the rules and regulations you want to, but if you don't get a relationship, it's not gonna matter. Some of you need to mend a relationship with God. Quit worrying about trying to fix this and remove that and quit this and say, God, I've got to have a restored relationship with you. I do thank God. I'm going to stay here for just a second. We're going to move on. I do thank God for our apostolic identity and our outward appearance. But I could go get anybody from any walk of life and I could dress them up and make them look apostolic. Bible says that God sees the heart of a man. Put a dress on it. Let it drag the ground. Clean it up. Make it presentable all you want to. But some of you have learned how to sit in a church pew and lay down in sin every night of the week. We've grown comfortable with the presence of God, that we know how to church it up, we know how to dress it up, and we know how to clean it up. I know the right way to smile at the pastor and the first lady. I know the right way to click the cool guy fingers and keep on going, but yet I'm going to walk out of here right back into the same old sin, right back into the same old mess. There are some people, this ain't in my notes, you can read them when service is over, but there are some people in this room today, you need to write your relationship between here and there, and then let God fix the rest. You're trying to fix too much. You need to fix this, and all of this will fall in order. If the relationship's right, God will move on people when they need to change. God will submit those changes when they're needed. It's the church's job to love people and to welcome people, no matter what they look like, no matter where they come from, no matter what their name is, no matter if you know what they've done or what they've been doing and who they've been doing it with. It's the church's job to love people and welcome everybody. If he's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and we hop and shout and dance, and we should, then I submit to you, he's going to have only one church. And it's going to be filled with every skin color. It's going to be filled with all kind of sinners. It's going to be filled with all kind of people that got all kind of skeletons in the closet, but have found a way to fix a relationship, have found a way to begin to speak to some things in their lives and say, I refuse. That's what some of you need to do. You need to rise to your feet on this Sunday night and speak to your past and say, I refuse for that to be my identity. For when the blood was applied to my life, that was cast into the sea of forgetfulness. You are not bound by what you've done, where you come from, and what you've been through, but you are identified by the blood of the Lamb, and you need to speak to that fear tonight. You need to speak to that opposition tonight and say, get thee behind me. When people's lives are spiraling out of control, whose phone rings? Ours. When people have come to the ends of the road and they've got no more means, where do they run to? Us. It's because they recognize the authority and the power that God's people can speak. I've got to tell you, you can pray for somebody and God heal them. You can speak the word of faith and God operate. I know it's a common misconception, but I didn't get a separate Holy Ghost than you got. There's only one. He can't be oneness in some areas and in multiplicities of things in other areas. It's oneness all the way through. And the same spirit that I've got, you've got. And I've come to tell the church it's time that we quit depending on the pulpit to do all the lifting and the work. And it's time that the church rises up and starts reaching a lost city, starts praying people through at the grocery store, starts praying. Hey, the last time I was in Paris, I prayed for a man in the middle of Walmart. I'm not telling you to do something I hadn't done and something I won't do, but when we begin to speak, the Spirit of God can move in aisle 12. God can move on your job. God can move in your living room. God can move when you're at the bank. God will move in this place, but He can move anywhere His people are willing to speak. Titus 2 and 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Excuse me. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And verse number 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Acts 1 and 8 we quoted this morning, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. There ought to be a witness of God's power that goes with us everywhere we go. Amen. That's good preaching. Thank you. When you go places, there ought to be a power of God's Spirit that goes with you. I can't take my Holy Ghost off just because it's the work week. Matter of fact, I don't want to take my Holy Ghost off because it's what's saving me. It's what's keeping me. It's what's protecting me. And when you go to the uttermost parts of the earth, they ought to be able to look at you and say, there they are. I need some prayer. I need somebody to speak the word. I need somebody to pray over me. Mark 11 and 23, this can be found in the Gospels, but we'll take the one from Mark 11 and 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. When we begin to speak with the authority and the spirit that God has given us, we can speak things into existence. Do Do you realize that kind of power still operates in this place? That kind of power is still obtainable and accessible for God's people. But what happens is we walk around in fear and doubt, and the enemy says, I'm just going to hold them at bay. There was an entire generation with Moses that died in a temporary blessing. I preached this the last time I was here, not this past October, but the one before. Many of you don't even remember that I was here then. But I remember preaching this. I remember talking about Moses and that generation in the wilderness. The wilderness is not a negative place. The wilderness, though, was supposed to be temporary blessing and provision of God to sustain them and strengthen them after 400 years of bondage to get them to the promised land. But they settled in the temporary blessings. There are some of you that are settling in the temporary places of God, thinking that you have arrived and you have reached everything God has for you. And you are selling yourself just a little too short, because there's more waiting in a promised land. And if you'll realize that if I will begin to speak and obtain the things God has promised me, there's still a greater thing waiting. Somebody today needs to rise up out of that temporary place and say, I want my promised land. I want to see my children sitting on these pews again. I want to see my family dancing around this altar again. I want to see every promise that God has given me. But for those same 40 years, there was an enemy that woke up every day saying, I wonder if this is the day they're coming. I wonder if this is the day they're going to show up. I wonder if this is the day. We find this when Rahab is talking to the two spies that come in. And she says, we heard God had given you this land. We heard what you did and how you utterly destroyed Sion and Og and the Amalekites, and how God parted the waters for you and everything that God did for you. We heard about that, and fear gripped the heart of every man. The enemy was shaken. The enemy was trembling. The enemy was in fear, wondering, when are God's people going to show up to claim their territory? And our enemy today knows that God has given us a promised land, and he's wondering, when's God's people going to rise up? When's God's people going to start proclaiming the promises God gave them? When's God's people going to quit just sitting back saying, well, I hope it falls in my lap? It's not going to fall in your lap. But when you rise up and you begin to speak the word of faith, I understand we can't see it right now, but faith is not what I can see before me, but the things that I'm believing to happen before they get here. If somebody would just start declaring some things, you would watch God do it tonight. We spend so much time begging and pleading when we should just be speaking. It was this same Jesus that he was tempted by the devil. He didn't call down the angels. He didn't make miracles happen. But all he began to do was proclaim the word. He began to speak. Life and death, the Bible says, is within the tongue. You can speak life to it, or you can say it's hopeless. You can speak life to it, or you can give up on it and quit praying. Some of us give up after it didn't happen the first time. What about Moses when he's speaking to Pharaoh? By all indications of the word of God, Moses and God's people at least endured the first three plagues, as he's doing what God told him to do. But Moses knew that he had a word from God, and he's just going to, him and his brother Aaron, they're just going to keep speaking, let my people go. And they keep going back and going back. And it was this same God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. But yet when they were on the run, it was this same God that said, you spoke the word, and I'll make the way where there seems to be no way. Joshua spoke the word, and the sun and moon stood still. Ezekiel spoke the word, and to the valley of dry bones came together and the breath of life was breathed. Elijah spoke the word in a 63-word prayer, and fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And when Paris UPC rises up and begins to speak, I don't care what they're lost in, I don't care what they're dabbling in, I don't care what they're doing, the devil's going to lose his grip, and we're going to start seeing them walk through the doors on this side and that side. You better start getting here early, because there ain't going to be no room to sit. I feel it in the Holy Ghost that if we will start speaking, God will start sending, and God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. Judges 7 and 18, the Bible says, when I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say. Gideon and his outnumbered men, all they had to do was make some noise. All they had to do was speak the word, and the enemy crumbled at their feet. You want to hear the sound of defeat? You just heard it. For the span of about 5 seconds right there, nobody said anything. Some of you is like, man, he done forgot what he's about to say. I ain't got there yet. I may get there quick, but I ain't there yet. But I've come to tell somebody, your silence in the middle of your storm is the only thing that hadn't driven your storm away. Your silence in the middle of the, I know it. How can I praise in the middle of the chaos? How can I praise in the middle of the storm? How can I praise in the middle of the hurt? I understand it's a lot easier said than done, but what you will find in the liberty of lifting your hands and your voice is I am not held down by the storm. I am not restricted by the opposition. I am not labeled by what I've been through, but when I begin to speak with my voice, things begin to happen. And if this church would begin to speak in praise, I assure you that prison doors would open for your family, chains would fall off of your home, and victory would return to its rightful place. David ran on a battlefield to face a Philistine giant, but notice, we call him a giant. David never one time called him a giant. David never one single time referred to Goliath as a giant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? He's not even part of the covenant. Who does he think he is to defy the armies of the living God? What kind of nerve does he have? And furthermore, what are y'all doing hiding? we'll call him out over there. Man, look at that guy. Oh, no. And we spend our life living for God just like this, trying to hide, trying to dodge, trying to duck. If I can just fly under the radar, if I can just stay right here, if I can just settle in the temporary place, if I don't have to go out there and fight those problems, if I don't have to go over there and conquer the thing, if you don't take care of what's on the battlefield today, you will never make it to what God has for you tomorrow. But notice, it wasn't in David's ability as a young man. It wasn't in David's choice of weapon. They even tried to put Saul's armor on him, saying you need some type of protection. But David said, I don't need an armor that I have not proven. I got the name of the Lord that delivered a lion. I got the name of the Lord that delivered a bear. And I'm going to face this uncircumcised Philistine with the only thing I've proven to work. It wasn't in the slingshot and it wasn't in the rock, but it was when David began to speak. You come at me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. There are some people in this room today, you need to quit fighting with your intellect. You need to quit fighting with your talent, your abilities, and your skill set. And you need to fight with the name of the Lord. Sister Callan, you sing the most perfect song. I speak the name of Jesus over my family. I speak the name of Jesus over my city. I speak the name of Jesus over every fearful and every person filled with depression. Because when we speak, God moves. Sister Callan, you can come to the music. I'll be your favorite preacher just behind your pastor one way or another. Because I'll either preach good or I won't take long to preach one that flops. Don't tell me which one it is, please. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. Somebody say we. Having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe. Are there any believers in the house tonight? There's a few of us. It's there any more believers in the house? You just didn't want to raise your hand on the first time, but now you still believe that God's able. You still believe that God's good. You still believe that God's faithful. I still believe that God's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think. The problem is we've got him in the confines of our mind because I haven't been able to push the wall down. I haven't been able to break the chains. I think it can't be broken. I think it can't be brought down. I wonder what they were thinking as they marched around those walls. I know Joshua's anointed. This guy done hit his head somewhere. I really hope he's heard from God. That's how my wife's feeling right now, Pastor Meyer. I wonder how silly that felt. I wonder how crazy they looked. People on the other side of the wall laughing, ridiculing, mocking. It's okay, y'all don't get nervous. I'm just gonna walk. I ain't gonna touch nobody. Probably looked about as silly as I do right now. Until that seventh day and that seventh trip, and they never had to touch one thing. They never had to lift a hammer. They never had to punch a brick. They never had to pick up one thing. All they had to do was put a little faith in motion. See, Brother Tanner's helping me right now. He didn't even know. He don't even know what he just walked into. Brother Tanner, just keep walking. Come catch up with me. See, now don't look silly. I'm not the only one. Brother Logan, help us walk a little bit, Bubba. Come on, my brother. It looks crazy right now. How crazy is it going to look when one of these guys behind me, all of a sudden the Spirit of God hits them. Virtue flows into their body. How crazy is it going to be then when all the... Hey, we used to do this all the time. We called them a victory march. And everybody thought it was crazy until victory showed up. Everybody thought it was silly. I feel my help coming right now. They never had to touch one brick. But when they lifted their voice and they began to speak, the walls started crumbling. The walls started falling. There are people in this room right now. You need to start speaking to some things and let the walls start falling. Let the chains be loose. Let the family be healed. Let the mind be restored. It's starting to happen all across this room. Victory sweeping in where there has been fear. Joy is returning where there's been mourning. Dancing is coming back again. All across this house, you don't have to walk circles, but I'm asking you to step out from where you are and begin to speak the word of faith. Begin to prophesy into your home. Begin to speak over your city. Silly as that servant was running up and down the mountainside, but on the seventh trip he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Rain is coming. Rain is coming. Rain is coming. Brother Darnell, just throw your hands up. Let the Spirit of God touch you. You can stop right there. Let the power of the Holy Ghost move. Men and ladies all across this building, get your victory back. Begin to speak the word. Come on, step out of your pew. There is victory for everybody. You don't have to join the walk if you don't want to. But I'm telling you, when you make that step of faith, oh yeah, it sounded real silly, devil. Until now, they're lifting their voice above the anxiety. Until now, the walls that you built are coming down. Until now, the strongholds that you had are being loosed. Satan, your kingdom is coming down. Your stronghold is being loosed. Sons and daughters are coming home. Backsliders are going to return. Moms and dads are going to be restored. God, let the foundations of this church and this city be shaken by the power of victory in this room. Come on, I know you've been praying for months now. I know you've been praying for years now. You ought to quit asking, quit begging, and quit pleading, and just start speaking. I speak to this mountain. I speak to this depression. I speak to this struggle. Brother Malone, don't you let the devil rob you of the anointing God's put on your life. I don't care what lies he's feeding you and what he's been trying to distract. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I don't even know what all God's been doing, but the enemy's trying to distract and to cause divisive plans to make you question your anointing. God's not going to take his anointing back. He's going to double it in the name of Jesus Christ. We heard moments ago the sound of defeat. I wonder if we can exemplify the sounds of victory in this room. It don't mean everything's perfect, but what it does mean is I've still got to praise. I've still got to shout. It may have knocked me down, but it didn't take me out. I'm still standing here. I'm still worshiping here. I'm still living here. One last thing and I'm done. You can keep worshiping. You can keep praying. Somebody's tapping in right now. Somebody's declaring the word in the face of the adversity. God's preparing that table for this church in the presence of an enemy. The presence of that enemy that said, you ought to start looking for somewhere else to go. The presence of that enemy that said, you probably ought to just quit going there and move on down the road. I curse that lie from the pits of hell, and I'm telling somebody what you need to do is you need to belly up to the table and eat from the supper that God's providing. I'm reminded of the story of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Rachel was the one he sought after. Leah was the unwanted wife. Leah was the unwanted daughter. Leah was the one that looked different. Leah was the one that was pushed off to the side. But God started blessing Leah with children. And that fourth child. You see, with the first three, Ashton, the first three. Did I get that wrong? Mason, I knew I was going to do that. Mason, with the first three that she bore, she said, maybe now somebody will love me. Maybe now my husband will love me because I produced something good. Her eyes was off of pleasing everybody and everything around her. That's what her focus was. With the first three, it was always about their opinion. With the first three, it was about seeking approval from those around her, because her whole life, she never thought she had value. Her whole life, she never thought she had worth. Her whole life, she thought she was insignificant and didn't matter. I'm helping somebody right now because you have felt like you've lost your worth and your value and your reason to still be standing here. But when she got to that fourth child, Her eyes shifted from their opinion to his. And she said, I don't care about the affliction anymore. I don't care about the opinion anymore. I don't care about the stamp of approval that it needs to come from those around. I don't need anybody else to validate me. She said, I will name him Judah because God has loved me, and I will now give him some praise. And it was through that tribe of Judah from the unwanted wife that the lineage of Jesus came, through the lineage of a harlot by the name of Rahab. Hey, Jesus came through the Rahab the harlot. He came through the lineage of Leah. I don't care how messed up it is. I don't care how much wrong you've done. If you will start to give him some praise and you will start to speak the faith, God can turn it in your favor. God can turn it around. You don't need their approval. You don't need their validation. You don't need their opinion. You just need him. All across this room, lift your hands, lift your voice, and begin to speak.
I curse the enemy. They must bow at your feet. Every chain is broken. At the name of Jesus, fear and anxiety, they have no hold on me. Every chain is broken. At the name of Jesus, I curse the enemy. He must bow at your feet. Every chain is broken.
Yourself.
anxiety. They have no hold on me. Every chain is broken. At the name of Jesus, I curse the enemy. He must bow at your feet.
I know we had families join up a moment ago, but there are people that are standing in this room that your family's not with you yet. I said yet. Standing. And what happened is the moment I had family stand together, it magnified what the enemy has labeled to you as isolation and abandonment. But I want this church body to find somebody that maybe their family's not here right now. Couple families, the reason I can't point and say who, because I don't know anybody's story. It's what I love about evangelizing. I can just flow in the Holy Ghost. I don't know who faces what. I don't know who's going through what. I don't know anything. All I know is after service today, I had wonton tacos. That's about the extent of my knowledge about what you're facing right now. But what happens in that moment is that nagging voice of an enemy starts reaching out saying, where's your family? If God loved you, why would you be standing alone? If God cared about you, then why aren't they here? Let me tell you something, the devil's a moron. You got family. And while it may not be your own flesh and blood at this moment, this family is going to bind together with you, because this word declares that where any two shall agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. I wonder if we could bind together right now with a few of these that have felt alone and abandoned. Maybe it's your spell. Let me tell you something before you go into prayer. There was a time in my family of five that my mother was the only person living for God. By herself for years upon years. And then I got in church. And then my middle brother was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I baptized my oldest brother. And 2 years ago, this past month, my daddy had received the Holy Ghost at the age of 65 years old for the very first time. It's not too late. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel and say it's pointless. Stand in the gap and speak the word. Stand in the gap and claim them. Stand in the, come on, church. Let's pray together. I pray over these families. I pray for every lost spouse. I pray for every lost parent. I pray for every wayward family right now. I speak their return. I speak their restoration. I speak for them to come walking into this place and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're that lighthouse that stands tall on the seashore, guiding the way. You're not alone. You're the light shiner. You're the way maker. You're the path giver. Come on, somebody, stand tall and let that light shine so your family knows where to go, so your family knows where to run, so your family knows where to be. Some of you got backsliders in mind. Speak their name. Speak the word. Speak it in faith.
Jesus, victory in the name, victory. situation over every nation. Every enemy is conquered, every stronghold is brought down. I speak victory. I speak victory. Bringing home every son and daughter, the rulers of darkness have to bow.